Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the October 2023 Fall Family Retreat held in Pipestem, West Virginia.
Welcome. I'm so glad you came. What a privilege to be here. I don't know who took in chair, you know, who made response to all these beautiful leaves out there, but well done. This is amazing. I'm always impressed when a conference happens. A lot of people say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to put on an event. And I find that few there be that actually do it. And LDSHE took courage to do a fall retreat, because I understand this is the first one that they've done. That took courage, would you agree?
Yes.
Can we just let them know how much we appreciate all the effort that's gone into this? Everything is set up for your success. Everything is here for you to gain something. But it's like a buffet that's out there. You have to come and partake. So I know you're geared up for that. I know all the people and speakers and staff and everybody that's putting this together just done a fantastic job, and I'm honored to be a part of it. So thank you, truly. I'm excited about this in particular, On to the Victory and So Great a Cause. There's a story behind it, and really how our words can propel that to the victories that we want. And so, a bit of a story here, let me share it with you. 24 years ago, I married my high school sweetheart. I know some of you thought I was 19, I appreciate that. But actually, here's a picture of us at the senior prom. I was a senior, she was a junior, I was a year older than her then. Actually, I'm still a year older than her now, the last time I looked. And I know some of you are thinking the same thing, so I got to get this out of the way here. Hey, man, he's got the same hairstyle after all these years. Listen, when you get a good one, you stick with it, okay? That's what you do. But I remember the first time I held her hand, it took me a lot of courage just to hold her hand. I'm serious. It was a Friday night. It was a football game. I was taken to an away football game, and I did not park in the school parking lot on purpose. I parked in a neighborhood down the street because I wanted to have time to walk with her afterwards and, you know, had this whole plan. So there we were walking down the street. She probably wondered why we weren't parking in the school parking lot. Certainly plenty of spots. And I said, hey, this is kind of a rough neighborhood. You're probably going to want to hold my hand. And it worked. For some of you guys, that's a writer downer. That's worth your whole weekend. So, and then we got married and we ended up moving in that neighborhood. That's kind of weird. But nonetheless, there we go, we got married. I was excited to get married. I served my mission in Cali, Colombia in 2 years and then came back and we got married 5 months later. And I don't know who does this, but in the missionary training center, I decided we were going to have 8 boys. And I was so confident we were going to have 8 boys, I actually came up with all their names by inspiration. Their first name, their middle name, and already knew their last name. And so I, all B names. And I presented that to her, right? I think she thought that was pretty awesome. And so anyway, I want to introduce you to my girls. But we have 4 daughters. I could have 10 daughters and be good. I love my girls. You know, I go on these speaking trips. I spoke in sports cities last week and come home and they rub my head. They rub my feet. They cook me food. I don't think guys would do that, Corey. I'm just saying. I love my girls. So let me introduce. We have 2 daughters. My 2 oldest are on missions. They're in full-time missions right now. Michaela's 20. She's in McAllen, Texas, speaking Spanish, and Charity is 20. She's in Los Angeles, California, speaking Spanish as well. There's my beautiful wife, Kimberly, and there's Liberty, who's here with us. She is 14. And then there's Melody. Melody goes right there. Melody would be 15 this year. Melody returned to heaven when she was a little girl. So I have a little angel baby, grateful for her, grateful for what we know in this beautiful plan that God has presented to us. So, we have a few traditions in our family. Maybe you do too. One of those traditions is we take family selfie pictures. We typically do this every Sunday. This is in a place called Oak Island, North Carolina. I know some of you have been or live close by there, perhaps. But we take a family selfie picture to mark our spot. You see, well over 6 years ago, we decided to go on a family adventure. And this family adventure included 1 year going coast to coast, living in vacation homes. And so my work is such that as long as I'm by an airport, I can just go and speak somewhere. And we decided to get in the car, sell most of our belongings, put the rest in a storage unit, and go coast to coast, visit wonderful national parks, church sites, things like that. Well, my wife was in I believe fourth grade, she read a book that I think is required for all fourth grade girls. It's called Anne of Green Gables. And she said, one day my husband's going to take me to Prince Edward Island. Well, it did, right? That happened. So we lived on Prince Edward Island for a month or so. So how did we do this? I bought a cargo trailer, like kind of like a 6x10 garage on wheels, essentially. We packed up everything inside of that and totes, and we hit the country. That's at the Redwood National Forest out in California. And for 1 year, we went coast to coast. Then we landed in Greenville, South Carolina after 1 year. And that was our plan. Our plan was to stop and say, okay, we perhaps even get a home here in Greenville, South Carolina. But God said, no. This is not your spot or not the place to stop and not the time to stop. So we said, what do we do? Where do we go? How do you do this? Well, we got in the car and we prayed. That's what you do. And we prayed ourselves to the next spot. And after that spot, we said, well, should we stay here, Lord? Is this where you want us to stay? And he said, no, keep going. Well, where do we go? So we prayed ourselves to the next spot. Well, Lord, should we stop here? We've been praying ourselves to the next spot for 6 years, 3 months. We've lived in 104 places in 6 years, 3 months.
Good.
Yeah. For some of you, got excited about that, actually, right? And some of you just had a panic attack, and I'm sorry about that. So, but the thing was, when our two oldest daughters just went on a mission, we felt like the Lord was saying stop and go get something, you know, be stable. So we actually landed in Northeast Georgia. That's where we live now. We actually, my driver's license matches my home address. I know it's not that big a deal, but it's a big deal to me. So we're in Northeast Georgia right now. It's a great airport for me, and we love that area. So we've stopped. So that's one of the family traditions, that we take a family selfie picture to mark our spot. So it's just the three of us left over. My wife affectionately calls us the leftovers, and that's where we're at. Another tradition is we're a praying family, just like you're a praying family. You know, we bless our food. We say prayer in the morning and the evening, all those sorts of things that you can relate to, I'm sure. And perhaps you can relate to this, that one person says the prayer all day. That's our family tradition. One person will say the prayer all day long. At the end of that day, what we do is we highlight that person. That person gets the spotlight. So everybody else who did not say the prayer says one thing they love and appreciate about that person who did say the prayer. We've been doing that for about 15 years. 15 years. I can tell you some of the things that become a benefit from them. Here's perhaps the one that sticks out the most to my mind. If ill feelings, if contention, if sometimes that sneaks into homes, if that has entered throughout the day, what happens is the moment we say we love and appreciate about a person, the moment we say we love and appreciate about a person, that goes away. It's like, as you know, light and darkness can't exist in the same space. Our heads hit our pillows at night with love for each other. It's been an amazing thing. I can tell you hours worth of stories of people that have adopted that in their own way. One gentleman came up to me recently. I was speaking at a conference in Arizona, and he said, hey, we adopted that several years ago. We had no idea my wife was going to be experiencing breast cancer. We didn't have a culture, a tradition, these sorts of things, and he said, in a sense, it saved our family. Brought us back together. So, just a lot of amazing things. I thought about this the other day, and I said, if that works in my family unit, could this work in other units? Where we have this strong bond, where we have this strong trust level. And so you know that I've actually done that tradition in Jakarta, Indonesia. I've done it in Nairobi, Kenya. I've done it in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. What happens is a company will hire me to come out and speak to them. I'll take a department, a group, 10 to 15 people. I'll just set 10 to 15 chairs in a circle, and I'll put one chair in a circle. And to that company, I'll say, all right, team, go around and say one thing you love and appreciate about your teammate. Now, for some people, it's a foreign language. It's not their culture to do that. But what happens as I come back in 3 to 6 months is this. The cohesiveness, the trust level, the productivity of that team skyrockets. Their togetherness. It's an amazing thing, just by that little tradition. You might say, why? Well, let's look at some data. Let's look at some research. How about that? Research tells us that the top reason a person will leave an organization, a person will exit and want to leave an organization, whatever that might be to them, it's not the dinero, it's not the money. Guess what it is? It's they didn't feel valued or recognized. They did not feel valued or recognized. We have this basic human need, I believe, when we come to this earth, that I want to feel special, I want to feel important. And if you don't feel it, you're going to search, you're going to wander. The mind will wander, and it will go and it will search for that until it finds it. Isn't that interesting? And often say, how do I get my organization to be more valuable? Help the people become more valuable. Very simple. Well, let's go to relationships. Now, relationships are a beautiful thing, aren't they? I mean, I'm talking about all relationships, spousal relationships, business relationships, and we can say everything else in between. What's the top reason a person will leave a relationship? It's the same. They did not feel valued or recognized in that relationship. This basic human need. So what happens when they don't feel valued and recognized? They wander. They go look somewhere else. They go find other things. And sometimes it's not good places or good things, isn't it? It can be a cancer in a relationship. It can be a cancer in an organization. And here's the cure to it, right here, right now. Have a culture that shares that with them. Do you have a culture that shares people's value and recognition to them? If you do, they'll be solid. People are the goal. People say, look, if I had two pieces of gold here, one was a little bit dull piece of gold, and one was a very shiny piece of gold, which one's more valuable? The shiny. People are that. Right? You shine people up. Help them feel special. So, my brother-in-law called me the other day. His name's Kyle. He's the oldest fake kids. And he said, hey, Thomas, we did your love thing. I said, what do you mean you did my love thing? He said, no, my dad was turning 16. We're having his 16th birthday party now. They're all married now, so there's 16 of them, plus mom 17. He just started setting up 17 chairs in a big circle. And he put one chair in the center. He said, Dad, go sit down. Nobody had any idea what he was about to do. And he said, Dad, go sit down. We're all going to go around and say one thing we love and appreciate about you. It's your 60th birthday. Now, they did not have the culture, the tradition of doing these sorts of things. He called me to tell me what happened. He said, Thomas, some of my brothers wanted to fight me. I said, wait a minute. What if I get emotional? What if I get, But he's Joel's brother, and he rallied him to do it. So they did it. And guess what happened? They did get emotional. Imagine that. He said, I had to probably tell you what happened, because after all 17 of us went around and said one thing we loved about our father on his 60th birthday, he stood up and visibly emotional himself. And he said, kids, I'm 60 today. And in all my years, all of them, that's the greatest gift I've ever received. Come on. The greatest gift. The greatest gift, you see? Yeah, words, kindness, love. In a sense, his dad never felt more valuable than in that moment, perhaps. And then my brother, I got emotional. I said, are you okay, Kyle? He said, Thomas, I'm just sorry I waited so long. I'm sorry I waited so long to speak love and value to my father. I said, well, you know what's beautiful about that, Kyle? One day to the next, we can change. Maybe that wasn't your tradition yesterday, but today can be. The sun sets and it rises, doesn't it? You can have a habit that you weren't proud of yesterday, and you can start a new one today. I said, so is it your new culture? He said, it is my new culture. I said, well, there you go. Move forward. Well, I recognize that the power of our words and the power of speaking to the people, we can attain any victory we wanted to in any cause. And I also recognize that some people were going to achieve some victory, and yet their words were not congruent. And I find that impossible. And that's why I started this company called Say, Do, Achieve. As you see the insignia there, there's a little person climbing a summit and wanting to get up that summit. What I found is that when your words and your actions are congruent, you can achieve any summit you want. Oftentimes what I find is people want to do something and they're doing the effort towards it, but their words are not congruent. It's not propelling. It's actually distracting them. But you line those two things up, you can achieve any victory and any cause you want. And I'm going to dive a little bit further into that. And so, this has always been on my heart, and I decided to write a book. Really, God, I feel place up this on my heart to write this book. It took about 10 years total to put it all together. It's called The Liberty of Our Language Revealed. We bring about, we talk about. In 2018, we finished it. Now, if you want anything to go anywhere, and listen close, if you want anything to go anywhere, have a vision. Attach a vision to it. I'm talking anything, a relationship, whatever that might be. Business, homeschooling, have a vision. So the vision is to significantly improve the language and mindset of more than 1 billion people worldwide. What that allowed me to do at the end of 2015, when we finished it, in 2019, interesting enough, I spoke in several countries. I think I counted 12 in 2019, in 12 months. Giving this message all over the world. I've gone down to South America and I speak Spanish for my mission. I've given this type of message to the general and his colonels, like at the Pentagon-type building in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Next week, I'll be speaking in Colombia, again. Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, I've done all these places. So what I found is that 8 times in Vietnam, what I found that if, who does it apply to? Well, if you use words on a daily basis, this applies to you. Nobody got up. Great. So you're all using words. This is wonderful. So isn't this interesting? I didn't really set out to prove it, but what happened is we proved this, that when you change your language, you will change your results. You will change your environment, and in fact, you will change your entire life when you just change how you and what you say. So, let's dive in a little bit. There's a chapter in the book called The Physical Power of Our Words. The physical power of our words is very important because words have power, and I prove physical power. There's a gentleman out in Japan that dedicated a better part of his life, his name is Masaru Emoto, to how words, music, prayer, and other factors affect water. He wrote a book, in fact, called Messages from Water. Grateful to this man, Masaru Emoto. And I want to share a few of his studies. Because what he would do, he would say some words, play some music, pray essentially to a body of water, freeze the water, and then he would see what crystallized after that. So, let me share a few of them. When it came to music, he played a heavy metal song. Has anybody ever heard of heavy metal? Yeah? Corey, you know what heavy metal is? Yeah, can you sing us a heavy metal song? Can you help us out? No? In Vietnam, they know what it is, too, but nobody wants to sing it for some reason. Would you agree that a heavy metal song is a loud, rambunctious song?
Yes.
Okay. He played a loud, rambunctious song to the water, froze the water, and here's what crystallized. There's the image. Then he played a beautiful song made popular by the sound of music. It's called Edelweiss. He played Edelweiss to the water, froze the water, and here's what happened. Just want to make sure you can see the difference. Heavy metal, Edelweiss. Yeah. So, that was music. Then it came to prayer. Now listen, this man is in Japan. I don't know how he prays, who he prays to, whatever, but we can agree that he was calling on some higher power to bless the water. So he and some colleagues went down to a lake, a local lake called Lake Biwa. They scooped up some water from Lake Biwa and just wanted to get the current status of the lake. So, they took it, they froze it, and that was the current status of Lake Biwa. And then, he and some colleagues again prayed in their form, whatever, how they do that, and they blessed Lake Biwa. What I find interesting is they went out right next to Lake Biwa. They blessed Lake Biwa at their location, traveled there, scooped up the water after mentioning it in their prayer, took it back to their office, froze the water. That's what the water looked like after the prayer. Same body of water. Now, to me, I don't know about you, but that gives meaning to blessing my food. I don't know about y'all. It changed the status and the state of the water. Interesting. Then it came to words. He would say certain words to the water, freeze it, and then here's what happened. The first word he said was evil. Look what evil looks like. That looks like a fun place to attend, doesn't it? Then he said love and gratitude. Look at this one. Then he said, you disgust me. Check that out. Yeah, thank you for the confirmation. Then he said, arigato. What does arigato mean? It means thank you. This whole thing was in Japanese. He said, arigato, thank you. That's thank you. And then he said, you fool. There's you fool. Now, I'm just making a comparison, but you fool looks like heavy metal to me. Interesting. Same image. Now, then he said, interesting enough, eternal, or life everlasting. This is an amazing thing that you discovered, Masaru Emoto, and I'm very grateful for it, but how many of you are a check it out for yourself type of person? Like, I want to check this out for myself. Okay, I am too. So, what I did is I said, you know, we're a homeschooling family, just like you. And by the way, I have to go back in the track because I think about that. You saw my trailer that we tugged around. At least two, probably the most weight in that trailer were our homeschooling books. Right? And I had to bless them every time I had to move them and pick them up. And then I have to travel back to our storage unit in Virginia and Atlantic, and my wife would say, hey, I need this book instead of that book for this year, this, and I would be switching out books and these sorts of things, and what a blessed time. But that's how we did it. But glory to be to my wife, she homeschooled on the road for over 6 years, right? And brought in materials and this and that, and it's just, it's amazing to me what you all do, really. I contribute, but mostly it's my wife, to the homeschooling, and so it's a fantastic thing. This is a homeschooling project. So I said to my girls, we were 8 and 6 at the time, we were living in Richmond, Virginia, so I took 2 glasses of Richmond, Virginia water, and I went to my daughter and I said, girls, you know in our home we don't use vulgarity, you know in our home we don't see negativity and these sorts of things, and we know, Dad, you're the words guy. And I said, but today, for the sake of science, I'm going to let you let it rip. And I'm not sure what that meant or what an 8 and 6 year old gathered from that, but here's what I said, you can come up with a bunch of negative words, and so they did. And so here's the words they came up with, stuff you'd never say. You can't do it. I hate you, despair, iniquity, ugly, stupid, jealous, shut up, the big ones, the terrible ones. And then I say, girls, say these words to the water. I did not tell them what faces to make. I'm grateful I had a camera. I took a picture. Look at their faces. Look at those faces. Curse that water! Opposite of negative is what? It is, it's positive. And so I said, girls, let's come up with some positive words. Hear what they came up with. Faith, hope, charity, I love you, you can do it, I believe in you, you're awesome, divine nature, beautiful, pretty, you're awesome, powerful, confident. And then they start drawing pictures of our family. I thought that was positive. I'll let you guess which one I am. And then I said, girls, say the words to the water. I did not tell them what faces to make. Now look at their faces. Isn't that interesting? I didn't tell my oldest daughter, Michaela, just because she had one hand on her scriptures and one hand on the water, like stand up positive Bible love. I don't know. That was a scripture love. And then you had to freeze the water, so I put them in the freezer. I put the negative on the right and the positive on the left, and then, of course, I separated them by 2 Atlantic pieces of salmon. Which had nothing to do with it. Some of you in the back, you've already come, that's a fishy experiment, right? We let that thing freeze overnight, and none of us could have possibly imagined what was going to happen in the morning. I opened up that freezer, and guess what happened? Pedazos de vidrio fell out of that freezer. Now, what does that mean? Pieces of glass fell out of the freezer. The jar on the right, the negative one, exploded like a bomb went off. Boom. Internally, like a tsunami. Look at this. As I gathered out that piece of ice, total destruction, internal, shattered it. It became stupid. It became everything we told it to be, right? Ugly, despair, iniquity. That's what that looked like. The positive jar stayed together. Now, because of the expansion of water, one piece of the front fell off, but you can see for the most part, the jar is still connected all around. And a beautiful swirl formed on the inside. It became powerful, confident, beautiful, divine, like we told it to. The water obeyed. Masari Motu, you're right. Thank you. Some of you may have done this. You can do it yourself to see. It's like, and you might be saying, Thomas, what does that have to do with me? I'm not a jarro lleno de agua. I'm not a jar full of water. Or are you? Who has water inside of them? I'm just curious. Anybody? A few of you? Okay. We just skipped that step, just not knowing. How much water do we have inside of us? Anybody know? This is where people start throwing out numbers, so I'm going to give you the right numbers, because if you're going to put in a book, you have to give the right numbers. Here it is. It's at different levels. Here's what the research has told us and agrees on. A brand new baby and in toddlerhood, 78% water. Have you ever heard that phrase? Hey, they're in their formative years. Who's ever heard that before? Right? Our children become how we speak to them and what they listen to and how we pray. Isn't that interesting? Now, a full-grown man, 65% water. Full-grown woman, 52 to 55% water. The majority of our makeup is H2O. Who's heard water is life before? It's huge. And so there's so many functions that are crucial to it. Now, if that's the case, then you've got to pay attention to what we say and what we listen to and these sorts of things. Somebody say yes. Yes. Thank you. 4 of you. Appreciate that. So let me explain it this way. The captain and the crew. Look, a captain at the head of a ship, whether it's a cruise ship, a battleship, whatever that means, wherever it might pertain to, there's always a captain. And there's always a crew. The crew obeys the captain. 100% of the time, if the captain says, sail towards the promised land, the crew says a wonderful phrase you've probably heard of called, aye, captain. If the captain, interesting enough, says, crew, sink this ship, the crew says, aye, captain. They will sink the ship. There is no disobedience. Zero. They do what the captain says. And how does this pertain? You are the captain. Whatever you command, your body, your immediate sphere of influence, is the crew. It says, aye, captain, to everything you say. And I wonder how many people sink their ships on a daily basis. Oh, it's Monday. Nothing good ever happens on Monday. Aye, captain, we'll make that happen for you. Oh, it's Monday. Great things always happen on Monday. Right? I'm always meeting great people. Aye, captain, we'll make that happen for you. I was speaking to a group of Navy SEALs a couple months ago. Most elite soldiers. And I was giving this example. One of the Navy SEALs popped out of his chair and said, Mr. Blackwell, I feel like I had to salute, right? And he said, Mr. Blackwell, let me just be very clear about this. If there is an ounce of disobedience from the captain, you are gone that fast. This is real. Like, there's zero disobedience from a crew. I said, thank you for clarifying that. Thank you for confirming that. So this is it. So your crew only does what you say. Now, that's a fun phrase. I was speaking to a company in Cape Town, South Africa. And to remember this, to help them remember that, they bring about what they talk about. They sent me a video. Every 10 feet down their hallway, pretty large hallway, it says, aye, captain, aye, captain, aye, captain. On the side of their computer screens, it says, aye, captain. So they'll remember that they're the captains of their ship. I spoke to a logistics company in Southern California, big trucking company, big, huge warehouse that could pull several 18-wheelers in there. They had this huge wall, and they said, Thomas, we're going to paint I got it across that whole wall. I said, I'll believe it when I see it. They did it. Just so they can remember, right? That I captain, you're lost. So I'm grateful to many people that have helped with these studies. One gentleman's name is Dr. David Hawkins, and he's written several wonderful pieces of literature. One, the most powerful, is called Power versus Force. And inside of that, what he does is he confirms the research of how words and kinesiology are connected. How our bodies become strong when we speak strong words, positive words, and how they become weak when we speak negativity. And he put a lot of research there, so I'm grateful to him for that. So the question becomes, how do you speak to yourself and how do you speak to others? That's the question. How do you speak to yourself and how do you speak to others? So I'm going to show you this. I'm actually going to show you that right now. So let's see. Young man in the red shirt right here. What's your name?
Yeah.
Right behind you. I appreciate you responding to being a young man. I love that. So the younger man behind you. Yep, in the really bright, the one that's going like this, went like this. Yeah, come on up here. What's your name?
Drex.
Drex. So I wanted to find the smallest guy in the room, so come on up, Drex. Now, Drex, have we met before?
Yeah.
Now, have you have any idea what I'm about to do?
Yeah.
Have you ever read my book?
Yeah.
It's not yet, is the answer. Okay, I just want to help with the language a little bit, right? So, Drex, nice to meet you. Would you all agree that Drex has worked out at least a Tuesday in his life? Yeah? Okay. Drex has no idea. Are you right-handed or left-handed? Okay. Do you have any injuries right here, Drex? No? Because I was doing this one time, the guy said, not yet. Aye, captain. Right? So Drex, what I'm going to do, I'm going to test this and put this into play what Dr. David Hawkins has shown us. How you're the captain, your body responds 100%. So I want you to square up to the audience right here. Okay, can you all see Drex? Of course
yes.
You can. It's not because he's a little bit this way? Okay, how about that? You good? So what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to have you hold out your arm just like this, Rex. Okay? And so I'm going to press on it significantly. I'm going to attempt to get you down, right? And you're going to command the crew. You're the captain. And you're going to say, I can do it.
Can do it.
Okay? And I'm going to press down significantly. You can keep saying, but command the crew that way. Here we go.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
Should have stretched out before I brought Rex up here. Could have done a pull-up on your arm. Was I pressing hard? I was pressing hard. Could not budge him. All he said was, I can do it. So the crew said, aye, captain. Drex, now you're going to say, I can't do it.
I can't.
Okay? So here we go. Command the crew. I can't do it unless the same thing. Let's see what happens.
You can't do it.
Ready?
Can't
okay, go ahead.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
They're helping. Yeah. So you all.
That's weird. Like,
yeah, it is. Say that's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's a weak word too. So was that for real?
Yeah, that was weird.
That was? Okay. So, hey, we're having a great time with you, Drex. So, here's the thing. The first time I did that, you may have saw I used my entire hand. I was actually hanging using my body weight to pull him down. Could not budge him. Second time, put my hand in my pocket, nonchalantly took two fingers, and just went like this. This is literal. There's powerful words and there's powerless words. There's positive words and there's negative words. Some of those powerful words in any language are, I love you. Would you agree, Drex?
Yeah.
Okay, step right up, Drex. Hold out that arm. You're going to say, I love you. And if you want to pick out somebody specific out there, that's up to you. Right? It'll be between you and me. Here we go. Say, I love you. Let's go.
I love you.
Drex, everybody. Just Drex.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Whoever that love was, I felt the love. Way to go. So, was that for real? Were you strong? Okay, because this is your experiencing through you, Drex. Opposite of love.
Hatred.
It is. I'm going to have Drex say hey, everybody else. And this time, but I don't want you to pick out anybody specific for this one, okay? Just say it to the wall, whatever. But really, give it your best deal, and I want you to say, I hate you.
I hate you.
Yeah, interesting. Let's do it again for the people in the back. I'm going to use one finger. Here we go.
I hate you.
Interesting. Was that? This is really moving him. This is. So, was this for real? Obviously,
yeah.
From the look of your face, it's for real. Okay. So, here's the thing. Let me make a spiritual point. What's the best-selling book of all time? What's the Bible? Let's give it all the credit it deserves, which is lots. And what's the first book in the Bible?
Genesis.
It is. What happened in the very beginning of Genesis?
God created heaven
and the earth. How did he do it?
Very carefully.
He spoke it into existence. After he created heaven and the earth, who did he create? He created man. In whose image? His own. Did you see what just happened? Watch closely. God created the earth with this word. Created us in his image. He just gave us the power to create our worlds by what we say. And you have, and you are, and you will. So any words that are aligned with the divine, you will be strong. Any words that are aligned with the adversary, you will be what?
Weak.
There are words that we've been saying in our lives. We've been tricked to have evil look good and good look evil. Would you agree with this?
Yes.
And he's tricked us into saying words that have made us weak. For example, have you ever said that's crazy?
Yeah.
Who said that's crazy today already? Okay. So let's just see what happens when you say that's crazy. You ready? Say that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Say that's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Devil talk. Why?
Oh.
Why? Because crazy means out of control. Is God always in control?
Yeah.
Do you see how you submit to the adversary when you say that's crazy? Unbelievable. Show me in the scriptures where it says that's unbelievable. Moses parts the Red Sea. That's unbelievable. That's crazy, Moses. No. God says be believing. So when we say unbelievable, we're actually saying I don't believe that. No faith. So I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself, Drex. Say, totally believable.
Totally believable.
Totally believable.
Was that for real?
Yes.
See? So you can test your words and recognize that the adversary has snuck into our environment and made good look evil and evil look good. You could be sinking your ship just by the words you've been saying if you're not careful. Now stay right there, you're doing a great job. Step to the side. In the Book of Mormon, Jacob, 4:9, look at this verse. For behold, by the power of his word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of his word. Wherefore, if God, being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, oh then, why not able to command the earth? Or the workmanship of his hands ascends in our lives upon the face of it according to his will and pleasure. This is real. So, stay there. Words of Integrity stepped right up. You're doing an amazing job. There's a whole chapter in my book called Words of Integrity. Do what you say and say what you do. What has happened in our society is non-committal words have created non-committal people and non-committal cultures. Non-committal words have created non-committal people and non-committal cultures all around us. And the adversary is very happy about it. So let's just, I'm going to have you say some words you may have said before. Get in your big power zone, right? I want you to say, I'll try. Look forward, get in your zone. Say, I'll try.
I will try.
Yeah. Say, I hope to.
I hope to.
Yeah. Say, I think I can.
I think I can.
Devil talk. Right. Say, maybe.
Maybe.
Nah. Here's one you may not have thought of. I'll do my best.
I'll do my best.
Let me use my left pinky. Go ahead. I'll do my best.
I'll do my best.
Can you imagine me asking my wife to marry her? Sweetheart, I want to spend the rest of my life, I want to spend eternity with you. Will you marry me? She says, maybe, I think so. We'll see what we can do.
Uh-oh.
I probably wouldn't have done that deal. You know what I mean? No commitment. But oftentimes, there are people who say, I'm going to try to make the LDSHE homeschooling conference. I'm going to try to make it here. I'm going to attempt to do this. And the devil's very happy about it because there's no commitment. Right? In the New Testament, it says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Everything else is what? Evil, it says. Yes or no?
It's like do or do not, there is much right.
There, that's right. Yoga. Right. I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. Give me a commitment word.
Power.
Say, I will do it.
I will do it.
Okay, get in your zone. Just square up. I'm really going to press hard here. I will do it. Go ahead.
I will do it. I will do it.
Was that for real?
Sort of a question that, how hard are you pushing?
It's the same. Okay. So when you commit, you're strong. So where's commitment been lacking? Right? If you're going to be there, be there. If you're not able to be there, say, I'm not going to be able to be there. Now, you've been great. You know, I think you've earned a book. What do you think? Should I give Rex a book? Yeah. All right. Rex, you are a champion. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Aye, aye, Captain. All right. There you go, buddy. Give him a hand. So there's a few sayings that have been floating around for many, many decades. You've probably heard them before, but I'm just putting some weight on there. There's a gentleman who started a company called Ford Motor Company. His name is Henry Ford. He's famous for saying this right here. Whether you say you can or whether you say you can't, either way, I'm going to insert literally, you're right. This is literal. You create what you've been saying. Even Bruce Lee had something to say about it. Bruce Lee said, don't speak negatively about yourself. Even as a joke, your body doesn't know the difference. Words are energy and cast spells. Interesting, that's why it's called spelling. To change the way you speak about yourself and you can change your life. But you're not changing, you're also choosing. So I didn't even make this stuff up. This has been around since Bruce Lee. Actually, it's been around since when? Genesis. Since the beginning, God taught us the power of the word is creative power. Right? So you might be saying, Thomas, what am I supposed to do with this? Where am I supposed to go with this? How am I supposed to treat this? That right there. That's your key. Only say the things you actually want to happen. You want to create a victory with a great cause in your life? Speak it into existence. Want the opposite? Speak the opposite. Because you've been doing that. You have, you will, and you are. You want things to change? Speak differently about it. Here's another thing. It's another chapter in my book. Maybe I'll talk to the adults about it later. It's called People Tend to Act How You Speak to Them and About Them When They're Not Present. People tend to act how you speak to them and about them when they're not present. You want people to change in your life? Speak differently about them and to them. Oftentimes I hear people speaking negatively about a group or an association or even people in their family, and they're expecting them magically to change, and it doesn't work like that. You have to change. In the New Testament, James gives a lot of power to our language and the tongue. In the very heading of James 3, the whole chapter is fantastic, but consider this. In the inspired heading of James 3 in the New Testament, says this: by governing the tongue, we gain perfection. Right? You want to go on to the victory and a great cause? Govern the tongue. So, do words affect our environment? What would you say? Yes? All right. You want it? You're excited to come up there? Yeah? Looks like you are. Come on up here. Give her a hand. Yeah. What's your name? Melia. M-E-L-I-A. M-E-L-I-A. Okay, that's a brain hack. Spell their name out and you're much more likely to remember their name. Melia. If their name is Bob, just get creative. So, Melia, you have any idea what I'm about to do right now?
Nope.
Have you read my book?
Nope.
Not yet. There you go. All right. We're learning. So, how many of you know Melia? Who would like to know Melia? All the hands. Watch all the hands go. Every single person going to watch. Watch. Who thinks Melia is amazing? Look at all the friends you have. Fantastic. Now put her foot idle. Melia, would you agree those are two blank pieces of paper?
Yeah.
Okay? Two blank pieces of paper. What we're going to do is we are going to speak love and kindness and value into our friend Melia. That's what we're going to do. Your friends are going to give me positive, powerful words about you. I will start out. Malia is beautiful. What else? Go ahead.
We love you. Well,
what?
We love her.
You're awesome.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Amazing.
The best.
The best.
Happy.
Happy.
Daughter of God.
Daughter of God. Daughter of God. Gorgeous.
Pretty smile.
Happy.
Pretty smile.
Pretty smile. Hey, all these things true, Malia? All right, I need to do something. Do you see how she said yes? Do you think the crew is clear on that or confused?
Confused.
They were confused. So I don't know who taught it. I better come over here. The adversary has taught us, too, to reject goodness in their life, even with our body language. How often do we do this where someone comes and says, hey, you're beautiful, you did a great job on this or that, and they say, but and we swat away with our body language the good that people are attempting to give us. Isn't that interesting? So when something is good, positive, and lovely, guess what I do? I say, watch where I put it. Thank you. I put it right in the chamber that circulates my whole body. I say, thank you very much. Somebody taught us to be humble, you got to reject the good. No, that's a lie. I say, thank you. If it's not good, guess what I do? No, that's not true. And I do swat that away. Only positive things are going in this chamber. So are all those things true?
Yes.
Hey, see, improve. Now go like this. Say yes. There you go. Okay, so would you agree, I wrote pretty fast, but that's the thing that they were saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just wrote this on a piece of paper. Think about this. Words on a piece of paper, how simple this is. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Any injuries here? Are you comfortable if I press on your arm just like I did with Rex? Okay, so I want you to take this with your left hand. I want you to put this into your environment, put it right against your heart. I want you to hold up that arm just like that. Here's the difference. Well, you're not going to say anything. Okay? You're not going to say anything, and I'm going to press down significantly, okay? Now I'm going to use my right hand. Are you ready? Just, here we go. Was I pressing hard? Yes, I was, Greg. Yes, I was. You were very strong, would you agree? You might have been stronger than Brex, but don't tell him. Okay? So here's the thing. Those words in your environment, you were solid. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Without swearing at me, and I'm serious, this row right here. Okay? We're no longer describing our friend Malia. We're just going to say some of the doo-doo words that sometimes slip into our mind. That we don't want to, they can be bullies even sometimes. They slip in there, I'm going to write them down. I'll start hate. Ugly. Go ahead. Fire off.
Selfish.
Stupid. Failure. Loser. Obnoxious.
You're not smart.
Not smart.
Idiot.
What was that back there?
Shameful.
Prideful. Inventive. No one cares. All right, we're about to fall over up here. I'm a little concerned. When I tried to get that positive, we had to really draw it out, but they just vomited on us just now. Okay? But would you agree that's the terrible things they've been saying?
Yeah.
That are not true. So, here's the thing. Put that against your heart. Folks, friends, listen. Seriously? Words on a piece of paper. Here you go. You can think about whatever you want, but you're not going to say anything, okay? Just tell me when you're ready. My left pinky. Was that for real? Let's do it again for the people in the back. All right, so here we go. Come on. Tell me when you're ready.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. Think about this. Think about this. A wise grandmother once said, Thomas, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Now she also meant, yes, your friends, the people you hang out with, but you show me the things you hang out with. Show me the things you hang out with. You show me what you read on your phone. You show me the movies that you read. You show me the books you read. I will show you your future. Sinking or sailing. That powerful. Okay? I was doing this in Johannesburg, South Africa one time. It was a big group. A lady popped up in the back. She said, Thomas, what if you're in a negative environment and you're thinking positive thoughts? Will that make a difference? In a negative environment, thinking positive thoughts. Should that change? Who says yes? Should she be strong? Who says no?
I say you should change your
opinion. Okay. There you go. Good idea. So here's the thing. Go do that. I want you to think in your mind. Go ahead and put those negativity against your... And I want you to say what we saw with Drex. I love you, I love you, I love you in your mind. Okay? Just in your mind, say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and just tell me when you're ready.
Ready.
All right.
Oh, my gosh!
Okay? The word, rather, environment wins. Environment is that powerful. You can take a strong, courageous person, and you go toss them in the mud, and they're going to get dirty too. We've seen great people fall because they choose a different environment. Now, I want you to do that back there, and I want you to say what you were thinking, which was what? We also just proved something. We just proved that the mind is a filter. It is a filter. We are blessed to think before we speak. Now, who's messed that deal up a time or two, right? Okay? Like, words are just out there. Because when we speak, it's the canon, it's the creation. So put that negativity back in your environment. I want you to say what you were thinking, which was, I love you. Here we go. Was that for real?
Yeah.
The word wins. The word wins. What I'm saying is this. When you speak up to the bully goes away. And sometimes those words are just bullies. Who's the author of bullyship?
No.
The adversary. In the scripture that teaches us, we can speak up to the bully. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me. Cast him out of your life by the word. So if that's ever shown up, the prophet even teaches us that. Cast Satan out of your life. Right? Get thee hence. So when stuff is showing up, you can get rid of it by the word. Now, stay there. I'm going to write two words on here. Two. You're not going to see what they are. This is the negativity. I want you to put this back in your environment. You can go ahead and put it against your heart. She didn't see what the words were. You're not going to say anything. What should happen right now? She should be strong or weak? Should be weak, right? So I put two words on there. You're not going to say anything. You can think about whatever you want. Let's see if those two words made a difference in the negativity. Just tell me when you're ready.
Okay.
Here we go. Was that for real?
Yeah.
Seriously? I just added two words to that list on the negativity. She didn't say anything. What are those two words, Malia?
Jesus Christ.
Aww. Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. When you take upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ, he's already suffered for all those. Even on a piece of paper, he demonstrates his power. I'm going to give you a book. How about that, Malia? Malia, you are a gem. Is that true?
Yes.
Aye, aye, Captain. All right, there you go. Give her another hand. You're welcome. Can I petition 5 more minutes? I'm supposed to be in right now. Can I petition 5? Is that okay? All right. Do I hear 7? Okay. Thank you. The fact is this. You're going to have a culture. You have a culture by design, or you're going to have a culture by default. And the fastest way to design your culture is to speak it into existence. Oftentimes we just give our culture to the wind. Here's another thing to consider. And we've gotten this, I believe, equivocado, in error a lot of years. It's this, that you don't get in life what you deserve. You don't get in life what you deserve. Here's the fact, you get what you expect. Companies hire me and say, hey, Thomas, we want to change our whole culture. I say, give me 20 minutes, let me just go talk to your people. And just by listening to their managers and their leaders, I can tell what's happening and what needs to change that fast. Just by what they say and what they're expecting every day. I used to say this phrase right here. I used to say, in my world, nothing ever goes wrong. Interesting enough, I used to say, in my world, nothing ever goes wrong. Sounds positive, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Somebody say yes. In that phrase, though, there's two words that if I had Rex or Millie up here, I would drop them with one finger. What are the two words?
Nothing wrong.
Isn't that interesting? That I was attempting to say something positive, but I inserted a little bit of negativity. It's like building a big, beautiful ship and putting a gaping hole in the bottom saying, hey, let's sail towards the promised land. Right? So how can I say the same thing and have it be positive? In my world, look how simple this is. Everything goes right. Change your forgets to remember. Don't forget the keys. No, remember the keys. I'm always forgetting people's names. No, I'm always remembering people's names. And the crew says, aye, Captain, either way. So I'm going to help you with this. One of these phrases, hard. Think about this. Life is hard. Relationships are hard. Schooling, homeschooling is hard. Living the gospel is hard. Changing our language is hard. Hard is a negative doo-doo word. It's a sinker word. Right? Here's the word flip. Worth the effort. Life is worth the effort. Relationships are worth the effort. Homeschooling is worth the effort. Living the gospel is, in fact, worth the effort. Changing language is worth the effort. All of a sudden the crew says, aye, Captain, is it going to take some effort?
Yes.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Yes, and we're clear there. Little switches like this. So allow me to help. I recognize I only had like less than an hour with you here, but I want to help you with this. Every single Monday, I send out a free weekly inspirational language tip in your email. You can get them on my website. And I wrote 101 of these things. So every Monday, I have people all over the world that get these little phrases, little paragraphs that I can help you. You can just take a picture of that, and you can just put your name and email in there, and you'll get my free weekly inspirational language tips. And then after 2 years worth of them, you'll come back to the beginning, but every Monday morning, I can be with you to help you change your language and change your life and change your results, change your environment. So that'll take you to that page. Got it? So put in your name. Make sure your email is right, otherwise it will not work. Okay? So, here's the deal. You can also just get them on my website. But what's your current capacity to have a victory in your life? What's your current capacity to have a victory in your life? Has a lot to do with how much you read. Phil Jackson, one of the winningest NBA basketball coaches on the planet, he has 11 NBA championships. 11 of them. What was his rule? You had to read a good book every single month. He had 6 with the Chicago Bulls and 5 with the Los Angeles Lakers. You had to read a good book every month on his team or you're kicked off the team. You can read it in his biography. He recognized that their capacity to gain a victory in their life had to be expanded here first, in the mind. Nobody taught me this when I was growing up. I think I would have read a lot more in that case. There's a gentleman who owns a reading academy, and he takes a brain scan of his reading students. They were not readers before. And then the first brain scan, the functional MRI, look at the brain scan there. Blue represents brain activity. After just 8 weeks of reading, 15 minutes a day. 8 weeks, 15 minutes a day, takes another brain scan, look at all the brain activity. Right? Leaders are readers. Who do you want on your team? The thinkers or the stinkers? Right? But nobody taught me that growing up in high school to read, and this is the power of it. But the power of reading. Look at these statistics. New York Times tells us this, a CBS poll says 43% of college graduates will never read another book the rest of their lives. 80% of households won't invest in a single book this year. Well, you're way ahead of the curve because you're homeschooling, right? Isn't that amazing? So I just want you to know and give you kudos and recognize how powerful reading is in your life. Now it's so easy to consume a book, isn't it? Like you can get a book on an Audible, and you can get a book. I tell people, you don't like to read? I'll read it to you. It's on Audible. You know? One, change your language. Do I like reading? But it's on ebook. It's on all these. I have hundreds of books out there, several on my phone. But the power of reading, I just want you to know, if you've ever doubted how powerful the gifts we've been given from good literature, right? So I'll be here the rest of the conference, and we'll love you to, well, my book is only $20, it's a simple investment. I think that's the best investment a person can make is in literature, right? My book or anybody else, a paragraph, a line, something can change your entire world just by that, right? So, anyway, I will sign them for you. Happy to see you then. It's been wonderful to be here. Here's my charge. Go on to a great victory with so great a cause. Let your language be congruent with it. And God bless you in the process. And say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.